Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Aotearoa Rugby Podcast. It's Ross Carl here with Brad Webber and James Parsons for another show. And I think we should probably start in Chiefs country because I feel like there's some counselling needed, Brad. You know, there was a scrap 2 weeks ago. The boys were fired up at the end of the Blues game too after that call from Jack Goodhue. Are you guys all right? Do you need someone to talk to?
Yeah, if you've got someone on hand, a good shrink that you can send down, that'd be great. To be honest, it's kind of getting a little bit laughable at times. The sort of 3 or 4 weeks running, I haven't had the rub of the green in key moments. So, yeah, we're certainly learning how to deal with it pretty quickly. It's getting pretty frustrating and really emotionally draining. Put so much into a week, you know, to try and get a result and then to come up short like the way we have, particularly the last couple of weeks, is pretty draining.
What's the chat?
Like, it's an interesting one because out on the field, it actually felt really good the whole game. There was no panic at any time. Like, it was probably the best of felt as a group. Honestly, moving forward, I think, like, we're not going to give up. There's got a lot of fight in the group. So we certainly aren't folding over or anything. We'll certainly give the Crusaders a heck of a crack this weekend. But, yeah, I mean, it's frustrating getting apologies from referees saying they had got key moments wrong. But it doesn't, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter for us because we still get a loss in the win-loss column. So as much as we appreciate them admitting that they might have got something wrong, it sort of doesn't help our fortunes at the moment.
Would you rather not hear that at all?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Yeah, you almost rather they didn't say anything, but... I guess they know that they were wrong, and you know that confirms you know our thinking that we're not just complaining at nothing. It's just frustrating that we're not getting any of those calls run our way. You know, 1 week it's a try pulled back, and then the next week they don't even check, and it's like, you know, it's pretty tough to take it after a while.
Can you make your own luck, Chipper? Can you with that kind of stuff?
Oh, mate, I've been where they are. It is tough. Like, the littlest decisions feel like the weight of the world on is when you're wanting something so bad. And it is. So it's exactly that. It's more emotional and it just drains you because it's like every week you start, build yourself up and say, right, this is the week, this will turn it around. And you put a hell of a lot into it. And then it comes down to something, you know, so simple as that. And then what it was at 81st minute. And I've been on the other side of it many a time, and you do feel like, because they do mount up, and you do get the emails from refs saying, oh, they got it wrong, and they do mount up, and it does become frustrating. But it's unfortunate that, you know, you just got to move on and start again and start afresh, and no doubt that's what they'll be doing this week. And you've got to, I think the beauty of Super Rugby Aotearoa is it is test match fever each week, and been a proud team like the Chiefs, you know, at home against the Crusaders, where they've already done a job on them. You know, the teams haven't changed so much already earlier in the year. Makes for an exciting clash this weekend, and no doubt with the Chiefs side with nothing to lose, there's plenty to fear.
Yeah, you could piss off a few other teams over the next couple of weeks, mate. Brad?
Yeah, we'd like to. Certainly, we'd have a bit of a dislike for the Crusaders, and we've had probably the wood over them for the last sort of 6 or 7 years. So there will certainly be no fear from us heading into a game like that. And it's also Aaron Cruden's 100th game for the Chiefs this weekend. So certainly plenty to draw upon in terms of motivation, and hopefully do a good job and help you boys up the road a little bit, Jipper.
I'm sure you guys will be cheering us on. How long until Liam Messam's back in the group?
Yeah, no, I haven't. He's been hanging around at the Waikato gym, but he hasn't popped his head into the Chiefs yet. So we could
he'd look good back in that strip.
I'm sure he'd be keen. I wonder how hard it would be to. I see the bus is back for Hurricanes, so surely we can get Hunger back for us.
Yeah, there's been a few of the old boys come back over the last few weeks, eh? It'd be interesting to see how the bus goes, because obviously he had an interesting time in France. But he was playing in the midfield, and they've lost Nani, and they brought in a winger. So is that the option?
Well, they've lost Ben Lamb as well. He's headed off to France, is it? So they've also got a spot there. But yeah, it'd be interesting. I wonder where he prefers to play. He's devastating wherever he goes. How long has he been back for? Has he just got out of quarantine? Is that the guts?
No, he's been back a while. I think he's been training pretty hard too. But I think they'll probably look with Vince Arso in the midfield before they probably go to Jules.
Yeah, good option for cover on the bench. They do have a lot of wingers already, don't they? They've got Wes Hoorsen and Chase Tiatia can play out there. They do have a number of options out there, but if they've got that kind of that adaptability of a midfield / winger.
Yeah, but they'll want, I think, like we said, Ben Lamb's gone, and they'll want like-for-like in that power winger spot. You know, those guys you named are all pretty similar, sort of players on that right wing. The way they play and the way they like to use their blindside winger, I'm sure he'll be in and around selection discussion for that left wing spot.
They did do a pretty interesting selection job on the weekend, didn't they, when they brought in... They brought in Wes for Corbis, and Corbis had been scoring tries really well, and then they switched that around, and it was just a stroke of genius.
Yeah, but I mean, Wes has been performing for the Hurricanes every week that he ever gets an opportunity. He's so quick, and I imagine they potentially wanted his speed up against George and Sevu. So, and it obviously worked to a treat. The few opportunities that he got, he really finished them off, man. He's rapid.
He's pretty good under the high ball, and the Crusaders like that box kick. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Brynner's been on here, and they love those sort of short box kicks for Bridgie to chase and compete. And it was an area we struggled against them with, but with Wes there, he's solid, and obviously Geordie as well. It's probably a decision around what they were going to face from the Crusaders. And in the end, if you look at the stats, it's quite surprising that the Crusaders kicked less than the Hurricanes. And in the past, you know, against you boys, they kicked 42 times. Against us, it was 36 times. And then they only kicked 20 times for a loss against the Hurricanes. So I don't think they managed to get their usual systems and game plan running. And a lot of that is probably off the back, which surprisingly for me is their lineout. Like, I don't think I've seen a Crusaders lineout struggle like this for a long time. And probably just have to look at the guys missing, you know, especially Scott Barrett. And Co helping Sammy out. You know, they used to having Kieran Reid, who's one of the best jumping number eights in the world. Not taking away from the guys that are there, but that experience probably just makes, you know, a bit of weight on Cody and Sam's shoulders and probably not just nailing it as crisp as they normally do.
Yeah, the Crusaders have always prided themselves on set piece, right? And you drop that and suddenly it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, well, they normally just piggyback those penalties, go to the corner, go to their maul. And that's how they've got out of trouble in the past. Whereas on the weekend, they probably had to play a lot more. You know, statistically, they had a lot of ball. They had a lot more rucks, a lot more passes than the Hurricanes and probably played a different style than what they're used to because, you know, and I think that came off the back of not getting that secure pellet set piece, which obviously created opportunities for the Hurricanes.
So is that the formula, Brad? Upset them at set piece and see what happens?
I think that's always been the case with the Crusaders. If you can get stuck into them up front, bring a bit of niggle, they certainly seem to not like that. And then you can, you know, upset them in other areas, particularly around the breakdown. And you can see that they were really frustrated amongst at times throughout the game. I mean, case in point, that last week dust up with, you know, with things boiling over. It's just, you know, you slowly frustrate the Crusaders and your chance of beating them. And the Hurricanes really took it. They, you know, they played without fear. They got stuck in. I was really impressed with their fullback, how they, you know, there's a few guys in there that aren't huge household names, but they really got stuck in. And certainly, I think Fraser Armstrong went off in the sort of first 20 minutes. So Tevita Mafaloa had to come on and play 60 minutes in a big game. And guys like that stepping up makes a huge difference for the firepower that they've got out wide, which they were able to release later on.
James, be honest, you're on the edge of the seat just pumping your fist when that Mwonga kick went wide, right?
Like when they scored, it was, what was it, 29-20. I text Rangy, Leon McDonald. I was like, come on, the Canes, bring it home. And then I thought I jinxed it. I was like, oh, I've gone too early here. I've had a shocker. But yeah, they got there and you know, Richie is so clutch. Man, just apart from that kick, how good is that guy, man? He is just electric. He's just playing exceptional footy. But yeah, managed to go wide. But probably like... The thing that surprised me is just the Canes' discipline to play to a game plan. I think they had one offload compared to 16 of the Crusaders. Like, so they definitely went there with, we're going to go through the middle. We're going to go through our set piece, go through the middle. And then when we can get wide, wide and get those breaches via the Safua Moore, who again, I thought was exceptional in those wide channels, but also his set piece work. And then they got those bends and then they went straight to width again. Not many teams have been able to get outside of that rush D of the Crusaders, and I think, yeah, it really showed, I suppose, missing, you know, Harvili in that, and also like the young fella at centre, it just, there wasn't their usual sort of consistency in their defence, that which allowed those opportunities, and you've got to take those opportunities. They took their try scoring opportunities, but then took their points as well. You know, five penalties. Normally, you know, when you go down there to Crusaders, you're like, right, we've got to go to the corner. We have to win it, you know, via seven. Three's not going to do it. But Canes stuck to their guns. They stuck to that game plan for 80 minutes and got the reward.
Yeah, it was pretty bloody exciting for the competition, right? We really couldn't have asked for much more than that.
Oh, no. Well, it was dead and buried if, you know, if they didn't drop one and hopefully two this weekend. Because, you know, even if you look at the points table now, they've obviously got a game in hand. You know, obviously from a Blues point of view, we'd probably need two bonus points with our two games to go. So it's still definitely weighted in their favour, but it's opened up a little bit more. And as we sort of spoke about earlier, if Chiefs and Landers can do what they do. But, you know, even when you say that, Hurricanes are still got to win their games and we've still got to win ours. We've got a tough challenge. It's just, it's tight. It's tight and exciting, I suppose.
Brad, we'd be remiss. You mentioned Niggle. Tell us the story. What happened with Nagy? What happened there? The punch up of the two welterweights or bantamweights or flyweights or whatever you guys are.
Yeah, the main event of the evening. no, I knew this would come up. So I kind of caught, he's sort of falling down and as he was ball carrying, and I sort of got him with a bit of a swinging arm, but it was, his head was nearly hitting the ground that, you know, there was nowhere else for me to tackle him at first. And I knew I caught him pretty flush in the face and I could hear him mouthing off at, I think it was Trusky on the ground. And I sort of stood up. I was like, I know it was me. So I just stood in and was just like, right, like, let's go. If you want to have a crack, like, it's, you know, I'm ready to go. And then he just started doing the freestyle swimming. But it didn't quite connect on anything, so I was ready to crack it, to have a go at him. But we didn't actually get to do anything. And then the boys come running in. Someone just lifted Nagy out. I think Mitch Brown came over the top and gave him a bit of something around his collar. But no, nothing.
Mate, it was a talking point. It was a talking point last week. Who would have won if you were let out? And I backed you, mate.
You're a good man, Jipper. Yeah,
Brad Webber, mate. He's got the big ticker. He'll go to the death.
I reckon I'd have to, it'd have to be within the first sort of three or four, I'd have to have a good nudge because I just don't know if I could take a punch. Like, I reckon I'd be able to throw one, but I reckon I'd get one on my schnoz and I'd just be like, oh, I'm out.
I'm with you on that. I've got a fragile head at the best of times.
Yeah.
Duck and weave.
You wouldn't mind one maybe straightening up that schnoz, get one from the other side.
Well, funnily enough, I actually have had this straightened, so I think I'd broken my nose sort of three or four times, but all the same way. So it ended up sitting like right under my eye here. And
Blake Ferguson.
Yeah, it was like Blake Ferguson. So I had to go and see the guy because I couldn't breathe out of it anymore. So he straightened it up, but he kind of didn't do a flash job, did he? I think I might need to go see him again. Or if you guys know any good plastic surgeons.
Just wait till the end of your career, I'd say.
You'll love it before the end of your career. That's going to be your call sign.
You could be the face of it. Third party deal, nose straightening.
You guys want to be my manager or agent here? All these great ideas. I think some commercial stuff would be great.
Tell me, what I want to know is, so when you got up and you're like, this is on me, did you literally say that to Aaron? Like, look, that was my forearm, mate. If you're going to punch someone, punch me.
Well, I kind of just jumped in and just grabbed him by the sort of by the collar and was just like, yeah, it was me. And then he was kind of mouthing off at me about saying that I punched him in the face. And I was like, look, mate, you're falling to the ground. There was nowhere for my fist to go other than around your head. So just general play. And he was, but I was glad that sort of happened because, I mean, oh, at the time I was glad because I was like, sweet, I'm in Nuggie's head. Like, you know, he might overthink about this too much, but probably ended up firing him up even more. And then he come home strong later in that game and obviously did what he did. So probably wasn't a great thing for me, but we had a good laugh about it after the game anyway. So we're all good.
Yeah, okay, let's take it to a halfback Royal Rumble then, take it right across the country. I would thought maybe TJ would go in his favourite.
Yeah, he's got the reach. He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a bit. And if there was such a thing, he would train the house down. Like, even if there were rugby games being played in between, he'd just constantly boxing and MMA fight until the actual thing happened. So he'd be the most prepared, I would imagine.
There was another halfback who took a beating on the weekend, our mate Brent. He got a serious bump off from Artie. That was a shocker. Have either of you guys got a yarn about the biggest bump off you've cropped?
Oh, mate, I remember like sort of second year in over in Sydney playing the Waratahs and Skelton just swatted me like a fly. Like, honestly, I rushed up, like there'd been talk about him a week. I was probably 100 kilos ringing weird at that stage, you know, I was pretty young. And I was like, right, I'll bring line speed because I knew that's the only hope I had. So brought it and literally he just, oh, I don't know if there's footage, I'd show you that it's like I was just indented into the grass, just flung off. And then another one, I think Nasi Manu when Harbour played Canterbury. This one's not as bad because, you know, I used to those massive charging runs when you put a kick back and for some reason he just lined me up, came straight at me and like I was just like, oh, well, I'll chuck my body there. And I managed to, like, as I was like falling back, like ripped the ball out and got a knock on. And I was so pumped, like got up and I was like, yeah. And then I watched the replay, you know, like doing review. And I was like, it's so embarrassing that I celebrated that. I should have just kept quiet. He came at me again, but I went a little bit lower the second time. But yeah, those are the two that I remember, those two big boys just swatting me. Will Scallon's good. If you can find the footage, I look like a fly, like just a rat.
I'm sure Ross can dig that one up from the Sky Sport archives, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know what year it is. I wish I could because it was funny. Charlie Farnwinger still probably laughs about it to this day. He giggled. He was inside me and started laughing.
Well, I've had plenty. When you're my size, everybody's a chance at bumping me off, but... I mean, I had a good couple from, we're talking about Julian Savio before. I mean, the first time I played him, I tried to have a crack as he was running down the sideline, but I don't even think he noticed me trying to tackle him straight through me. But the one I do remember is I was playing for Hawke's Bay against Wellington and they had a small halfback there too. I can't remember what his name was off the top of my head now, but he took like a quick tap and I thought, sweet, here's a guy my size. I'm going to have a crack and see if I can finally put a decent shot on. So I flew up to try and get him. And he saw me and just ran straight at me and then just full bumped me off. So it was incredibly embarrassing thinking I was going to put this big shot on, but I ended up just stuffing myself up.
You know what I don't get, though? Like, I always think if you get bumped off, the quicker you get up, the less damage it does to your ego. You know, like, just get back in the line, get that quick. But the guys that stay on the ground, it's like, I'm just, when I'm watching that, or, you know, especially NRL stuff, guys stay on the ground, I'm like, get up, mate, get up. Yeah. Just get in that line as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Because if you just stay there, you just, oh, it's just so obvious. And then they're just going to replay it and replay it.
Exactly. You look tough as nails if you get straight up after a hit like that.
Yeah. Oh, he's taken that well. And then it's not 10 replays later and you're still lying down and the medics are just seeing you because your ego's dented.
Well, we get a feed at Sky Sport. It's called the ISO feed. And it's like all of the cameras. And like two or three of them in slow-mo from all around the ground. And like, there's usually, you know, 14 cameras around the ground and test matches over 20. And so you get something like that and you get the bump off and then it gets put into this feed. And at the end of the game, you go through all of the highlights from every single angle. And those bump offs are amazing. You can put together these incredible highlights reels of just the guy getting it over and over and over again.
It's great from your point of view, but if you're the guy getting bumped off, oh my gosh, it's nothing more demoralizing.
Actually, this like, I was just thinking about all those angles. Do you remember the fight that Tony Lambourne had for Hawke's Bay against Manawatu like 2 or 3 years ago? And like one of the biggest, like genuine punches being thrown. I think one of the Manawatu guys come in and had like a flying knee to someone's head and stuff. And so I had no idea about all these different angles, but because Tony had to go up to the judiciary to obviously be seen, like how many weeks he's going to get, he had to get sent all the footage so that he could put up a bit of an argument, you know, an argument to the judiciary as to why he did it or to try and get off. And so he sent through all the different angles and all the footage through to our team WhatsApp group, so we got to see everything. And seeing some of the slow-mo of just guys running in, throwing punches and everything, it was outstanding. So you guys in your production truck, Ross, must have some really good shots. It's some really good things, especially that slow-mo stuff. That was the best part to see.
It's pretty amazing. I did a story with Tony before, I think, the third week of Super Rugby pre-COVID. And, you know, it was kind of a hero story, you know, like he'd scored that try and he'd finally got his big break. And I was going through all of the highlights and I was like, should I or shouldn't I? You know, like this is a family story. Should I or shouldn't I? I was going through all of those. I was thinking, damn.
he probably would have loved it if you did.
Yeah. He wears it like a badge, that one.
Yeah,
it was a cracking fight.
Don't get too many of them anymore, do we? So it was nice to see someone it was nice to see someone throw that. Not condoning violence here.
Heat of the battle.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was a good one at the end of that Crusaders game on the weekend. I think someone went over the edge of the advertising hoardings too. That was
I think Artie rushed in and put Quinton Strange over.
Yeah, didn't he look funny? Just like,
I know,
on the bat, like what can you do then? Like
it's devastating because he's just like, you just have to let Artie go and go, oh, I'm on the ground here. This is not great. Then to get the yellow card too, like a sucker punch. I was like, oh, he must have got Geordie pretty good though, because Geordie's nose was streaming.
I was hoping Geordie would retaliate and just start swinging after he got that one, but he just cried to the ref. Well, probably the right thing to do, but it would have been good to see Big Geordie go swinging too.
After a club rugby game, you would cop something like that at a court session. Do you cop it at all after a Super Rugby game?
No, it depends if you win or lose. If you win, it's a little bit more fun and games and you might, but if you lose, it's pretty somber in the old changing sheds if you lose.
Yeah.
You might cop it like Monday morning once it's settled down, you know, at like if you do your mini team stuff, and that's when you probably cop it most. But straight after a loss, maybe not. If you've won, you'll probably be laughing about it because it doesn't mean as much.
One of the other things we saw at that game was the new trophy. We spoke about it last week on the podcast. Very cool trophy for Super Rugby Aotearoa. Can't drink out of it though.
No. No, I don't know. Unless they've got a little hole in the wooden base, you can do a shoey of some sort. but no, there's nowhere to put anything in. But it certainly is cool, and I think it represents the comp really well and what it's about, especially after COVID. So I think it's exciting. I think Bryn will have to hold off the Carpenters. He was talking about making more room in the trophy cabinet, so he might just need to hold back on those Carpenters coming in to make that room.
Classic Bryn.
Oh, mate, you should have heard him last week.
But what about trophies you guys have won? Has it been a particular trophy? You have a
That's
good
a cool yarn? Question.
Yeah.
Shall I leave?
take us
I'll leave you to
back,
it, Weeby. I'll leave you to it. I'll see you later.
Most improved doesn't count, I suppose.
We won the championship to get up to the premiership. That was that's a good big trophy. That you could fill that pretty high. That had a good few days in Takapuna. And the shield obviously in 06. And we had it again in 07 obviously to defend it. Not too much drinking can be put into that, but a fair amount goes on with the old shield.
plenty of stories come out of the Shield.
I don't think it would fit the COVID regime these days, the old Shield. It might need a good clean.
Absolutely. If that thing could talk, that was probably, that's probably the main sort of trophy odd one was with the young Waikato team back in 2015. And we had that was our last game of the season. So we had a
hell of a Then did we win it back? Go back to Hawke's Bay and win it back?
I went back to Hawke's Bay and we challenged Waikato for it a couple of years later, but we lost that game.
What was the game? Was it the game you won it when you scored a hat-trick? Did you score a hat-trick?
Yeah, that was four. That was my last game for
Waikato
against Hawke's Bay. And then I went to Hawke's Bay and I was already signed for Hawke's Bay for the following year. So, before the game started, I knew I was going there. But it was 100% worth it. Best week of my life. And I would do it all over again. Any promo I ever go to in Hawke's Bay now, that's the first question that ever pops up. It's like, why did you take the Shield from us? I would do it 100 times out of 100 again because it's totally worth it. But man, if that thing could tell a yarn, it'd be like, I think I was talking to Anton Leonard Brown the other day and he was even saying like, what if someone with enough contacts put together genuine Shield stories, but obviously all under the cloud of being anonymous.
Yeah.
And imagine the sort of coffee book magazine that would be.
It'd be an all-time seller.
Yeah.
But what about, to give us one or two without names.
You could go.
The only thing, I do remember nearly losing it. Because every year for Waikato, we have the mile, which is like, you start down one end of Victoria Street and it's just a pub crawl right up to the other end. And I got a call from my manager the next morning, Dusty Ayres, and he's like, where's the Shield? We've got it for this this marketing stuff now. And I was like, I've got no idea. I don't have it. Text around the boys. Nobody's got it. So everyone's, your heart's sinking. Like, fuck, I've lost the bloody Shield. Like, so we started recounting us. So I was like, leave it with me. I started recounting my steps from one end, the end of Victoria Street that we finished on and started walking back, looked in Shenanigans, the Irish pub on the corner, and boom, there it was just sitting there on a big bar leaner, just like in all its glory. It was like it was meant to be. So.
Surely no one would ever steal it. Like,
well,
found it, you'd give it back, surely.
That's the thing, yeah. You did wonder, like, you wouldn't be able to steal it because everybody knows about it. So unless you like took it for ransom and tried to
have it for a day and then maybe come clean, I'd say, because you wouldn't, people would be like, well, there's the Shield, I know who's got it.
you would have had some real decent ones from back in that day. Gyps,
06, yeah, well, it sort of derailed our season a little bit in 06 because we were top of the table, we're there or thereabouts. I think it was 1v8, so we won the Shield last round against Canterbury, so we had it for the summer. Obviously a good time that week. Then had the quarterfinal and got pumped by Otago at home. I think it was first V8 or something. I can't remember. It's a long time ago. But it wouldn't be the first team to have the Shield sort of derail. Yeah. You've won. That was probably one of our better years, Harbour. Well, probably the best year because I think we finished first or second. I can't remember in the regular season and with the Shield, but we didn't get that week right. I was a young buck. Like, I didn't even play in the game, but like in and around the squads, they thought it was Christmas and Jonah was in the team. So he was well connected. So it was a good time had by all, especially me, because I didn't have to front up and play Otago on Saturday.
What was that like having Jonah come into the team that late? I mean, at that point, it was the end of his career.
He was awesome with us young guys because like we were just in awe. We grew up watching him and he was just most generous guy. Like, if you back then it was pretty hard to even get shoes and boots. Like, you just sort of sorted yourself out. And, he obviously had good connections with Adidas. He was hooking us all up with Adidas shoes and stuff like that. It was just, it seems sort of silly, but like little things like that mean so much when you're a young fella. And he just was truly, like, I know he didn't play his best footy, but he sort of was so professional. He was always doing extras, he's always in the gym, those sorts of things that you pick up on, and you can see, had his body led him, he would have just been dominating the sport for so many more years than he was allowed to. But yeah, it was sort of starstruck. Even the guys that had been around ages were starstruck by him. And I think he ended up playing 4 or 5 games, but as we know, it wasn't at the peak of his career.
But he just loved the game, eh? That's probably what it came down to.
Yeah, but I think he just loved the camaraderie of it, the friendships and the bonds. Like, he just made so much effort to get around and know everyone, not just like the senior boys, all the way down to I was just academy as well. As I say, we were just in awe. We didn't talk too much, obviously. We just listened, but he was pretty impressive. And just, as I said, just a genuine good dude.
Brad, do you have a player you've played with who you've been like, damn, I can't believe I'm on the same team as this guy?
Funnily enough, it was Tomo for me when I was in Dunedin and I first made the Otago team. Adam Thompson came down and played a fair bit with us, and I was a big fan of his at the time, and it was pretty cool to have him. I remember he ran out end of season Cordy, and I was just like, I just loved it, being around someone like that who was so professional at the time, and for a young fellow still at uni, sort of showed me, how things are run as a true professional. And then now, how the tables have turned. He's come back in with us and played his 100th Super Rugby game, and here I am playing with him for it. It's funny how it all comes in roundabouts.
Did you felt from on the weekend, eh? Just needed that ball to bounce up to him.
Oh, I know. It would have been a fairy tale ending for the man.
I didn't feel for him. I love him. I didn't feel for him. I met him for the first time in a Barbars tour, and like you say, he's professional, but he knows how to have the balance of a good time as well. I had a little bit of a man crush on him after that Barbars tour, because he just, he can run a good cordy and just run a good cutter off the field. He's a hell of an entertainer.
Barbars tour up in the UK.
Yeah, and it was just before I made the ABs, and he was just awesome. He was awesome to me. Just around, not only having fun the Barbers week, but when I got named in the All Blacks, just telling me what to expect and how to act and how to sort of prepare before I went in there. He was, and just so supportive. Like, we'd known each other a week, really. Like, we'd always played each other, but it was like we'd known each other for years. Even to the point, from that tour, I messaged him before his 100th on the weekend, wishing him luck. Obviously, I told him not to play too well, but because that's, spend a week with a guy like that, he sort of is a friend forever,
Yeah, he's just one of the nice guys, one of the real good guys of rugby.
I think he's genuine. That's the biggest thing. Like, he's just, you sort of see a guy that's that talented and won a World Cup, but when he gets down to it, he's just a good bloke, but he's genuine about it, and he just cares for people. I think those are the ones that are always the best, that, just they're people first rather than footy.
Now, those Barbars tours, I've heard stories about brown envelopes full of cash being on your bed before your first week, and then you just go out and spend it up large. Is that what happens?
You don't have to spend too much, to be honest. It's put on. I confirm there is brown envelopes. The week of is you're pretty well looked after. But it's not just left on your bed. There's a bit more of a formality to it. It's just one of the great. Have you done it, Weeby?
Nah, I've tried to get on it, but it's just never quite worked out. I think I was trying to get on the one that had just been end of last year, but after the World Cup and stuff, it was all a bit of a big year. So not to, but it looks, I'm real keen one day.
It'd be right up your alley. Oh, you would perfect. You would thrive. You would thrive.
I'll say no more then, Jeff. That's
I tell you what, get in with Tomo. Tell Tomo to get, he can pull some strings. He knows everyone up there. He knows his way in. I've been knocking on his door to try and get back on.
The other story I've heard is that there's just a massive court session at the start, and half the players end up waking up in the team room, don't even make it back to their bedrooms.
There's not a lot of sleep. It's not so much a court session. You go out for dinner and stuff, and then we had Matt Stevens on our one, the ex-English prop. He's, I think, Saffa born, and he sort of prided himself as, knowing his way around London. So he took care of quite a lot of it, but you almost, it's more of a, our first night was like out for dinner, first few nights, and you're sort of bouncing around clubs and pubs and stuff, having a good time. But we still had to train. Like, JK was our coach, we were up training and stuff, well what you call training barbars, it's pretty limited, a bit of touch and a few moves. But the year we played it, we had a bit of fun with it. You know, we had Stephen Luatua doing that NFL pass. I think Colin Slade doing a reverse kick for Angus Tarvale to run onto. So we had plenty of fun in our game plan and managed to nearly sneak one off the Wallabies, lost in the last minute, unfortunately. But yeah, so it wasn't so much. The court session was sort of after the game. In Twickenham, and then there was a bus ride. We were playing a second game, I think up in Northampton or something, so there was a good bus ride and a court at the end of that. And because the squad's so big, you know, the guys that had played, the Aussies, weren't always backing up for that sort of club game.
Brad, you got to get on that, mate.
Oh, no, I'm licking my lips.
Yeah, I have to thank JK for that one, because there was no way I was getting on that trip at that stage in my career. You know, like I hadn't played any international footy, so it was just right coach, right time. And it's so much of it is who is coaching. If you know the coach, it's a big way to getting in.
The year I was up there, I think 2018, and I went to a Barbars training, and Razor was assisting Robbie Deans on that particular Barbars tour. And Razor came over, as he does, and, you know, just says g'day and all that. And he goes, I said, oh, what have you been up to? He goes, well, I arrived yesterday afternoon, went straight to a cafe, we cracked open a bottle of red wine, and that was us for the night. I was like, no need for team talks, no need to get anything together, but that is great.
It's amazing, like, it does show that sometimes you can overthink a week, because, like, we didn't do much structure stuff, but it flowed on the day of the game, like we'd been together for weeks or months, you know. We didn't even know half the guys until Monday. It was crazy. It was a good week. I tell you who went really well was Frank Halloy and Tim Nenno-Williams. They played really well, but they also went really well off the field. Slim to none sleep for those boys.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me with Tim Nenno.
Yeah, Frankie's the same.
When I was first here, so.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A couple of legendary party boys, eh? Who would probably be the most legendary party boy that you guys have played with?
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Would have liked that in the sheet to have a think about. The run sheet. Maybe we'll need to come back to that one next week. Yeah. I don't want to get it wrong.
I never played with him, but is Ali Williams one for you, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, he was good. Actually, I saw Toyava too. He was they both those boys when I was first in the camp were pretty good.
Yeah. Trent Renata for me, actually. Trent Renata.
Oh, the party starter.
Party starter. he could just go and go and go, and he was down at my rugby club in Dunedin, so he fit right in.
Actually, Woody was pretty good. He's not a big partier, like he's not someone that's going to go out, but he can hold form for a good couple of days.
Yeah,
when you get him and Horry together, that's you have to be of an elite caliber to stay with those two.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Whopper often tries to.
Yeah,
he's
with those boys. Yeah, he has. There was one story, I think, Waffle. They got into tobacco in the you know, you put tobacco in a pipe, and they started doing a choo-choo train. And you know, if you do it quite a lot, you can sort of, you know, I suppose faint as such. And I think Waffle had a good go at that one night with those boys. They've got me with that one too, so I can't say he's alone there.
Yeah.
Hoary, but for me, Woody, that I've witnessed, he goes good.
Stamina.
Like I say, he's not going to be dancing.
Yeah,
he's certainly a bar leaner.
Yeah.
Lachlan Bashir's a guy who's a bit of an understated guy. I can't imagine him dancing. But Brad, my God, he can play, can't he?
He can. I'll debunk Matt Smith. He would actually be one of the main guys in the dance floor. Funnily enough, he's got this thing where, you know how when he's on the ball, he's just got this ability to squat down real low and get the boys like a contortionist. So that's kind of like his main dance move as well. He kind of like gets this real deep squat going on the dance floor. That's his main thing. But yeah, he's been great. He's been in probably our best player all season. And I think because he's always been a battler, always sort of been solid, but this year's sort of really, really stood out, particularly with his ability to get over the ball and win turnovers at crucial times. He's saved our bacon a fair few times throughout this whole year. I think it was, to be honest, I think it was probably due a lot of it down to Gats. I remember asking Lockie, like, what's been the difference? What's sort of flipped the switch? Is it your preseason? He's just kind of like, nah, Gats sort of said to me, he's like, you know, we've got a lot of good loosies here, so you know, what's your point of difference going to be? Like, what, you know, you're going to have to force me to pick you. What, you know, what can you do that no one else can do? And he sort of sat back and said, well, I can get over the ball pretty good, so maybe I'll give that a real decent crack this year. And man, it's worked for him. He's been
he's sort of always had that form at Taranaki though, hasn't he? Like, he's always, I know when we've played them, like you've the whole time of his career, like, you just got to get Bo Shear, you know, almost if you get the chance, run at him so he's making the tackle, not hovering and around for those steals, because he's probably the most legal at it too. Yep. You know, like, he actually holds his own body weight. A lot of guys don't actually hold their own body weight, but it's a clear picture to the ref. Some guys are off it, but he's genuinely probably the best at it. You know, him, you know, sort of Pocock-esque of withstanding a clean out and holding that body weight and attacking the ball. And he's done that for years for Taranaki and at a high level. And he's almost that Mitre 10 Cup form is now super form. So, you know, if he doesn't make the All Blacks and he's back in the Mitre 10 Cup, you know, that's this sort of confidence at this level is going to filter down to what he can deliver there. And I'm sure he's knocking on the door of the ABs as well.
Is he one of those guys who is as good as the level he's at? So if you took him to the ABs, he'd just step up to that level and be there as well? Like, you know, you could get in with a higher quality of player and be even better, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's, particularly if you've got all these brilliant players around him, it would just allow him to be able to do his job really well. And if he's just focusing on, you know, getting over the ball, making tackles, you know, he's clearly elite at it. And if you just gave him the license to do that at that level with the quality of players around him, I think you'd see another level of Lachlan. And yeah, I tend to agree as well, Jipper. Like, he probably, in saying that, I guess, like, maybe the pressures of Super Rugby and trying to do or trying to think about your job so much to, you know, around more than just getting over the ball, maybe he just simplified things this year where he wasn't thinking about all these other different parts of his game. He just thought, you know, I'm good at get over the ball. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to focus on. When I get to see an opportunity, I'm going to take it. And that's what he's done. And so I imagine if he's taking that mindset now with Super Rugby, I don't think it would be an issue for him moving up to international level as well.
He's got the line-out ability as well, isn't he? Like, he's a very high-quality line-out forward at the front.
Yeah, he's kind of cheeky, like, funnel, like, cheeky tall and sort of cheeky heavy as well. Like, he doesn't look tall or look heavy, but then sort of when you ask him how heavy and tall he is, you realise, oh, yeah, he's actually, he is a big boy, so... yeah, he's great in the line-out for us to give us another option and can clearly cover 6 and 7, which is pretty good for him.
Maybe have a chat with him about, you know, his try-scoring celebrations, though. Maybe he could get that dance on. There's not much of a celebration going on there, and he's scoring a bunch of tries.
Now, he's the type of guy that he looks, no matter how tired you are, just look at Lachlan and automatically you'll feel better because he just looks absolutely rooted after 5 minutes. So I don't think he's got any energy left to do a try celebration, let alone get the deep squat going. But yeah, I'm always on him. Like, if he gets a turnover, because in previous times, if he gets a turnover and he wins the penalty, the camera's, you know, right on him and he just looks sick. Like, he's that rooted, so I'm always into him. Like, get up, stop looking so rooted, and he thanks me for it afterwards.
I don't mind the run back halfway. It's a good old school celebration. Just dot it down and sprint back.
Yeah, that's a front row thing, isn't it? No.
Yeah, well, we are tired all the time. We might not. We don't just look it. We are. but yeah, no, definitely. I always get teased in our team. Like, if there's a try, like, I might be near the boys to celebrate, and it's a U-turn and sprint to halfway, and they always get into me. I said, mate, I just know that the sooner I get back to halfway, the sooner I can start breathing.
No pats on the bum from you, eh?
If I'm close enough and it's a big moment, I'll be in there. But I'm probably not looking for high mets of 40 meters if I'm too far away.
One of the other guys is obviously in great form, Paddy Tuipulotu. Is he the best lock in the country right now?
Oh, I personally think he is. Not just on his physical ability and his carries and his tackle, but what, you know, you just got to look at our lineout success, and you know, it hasn't been a, you know, we've gone all right. We've been around, you know, the top mid pack in the past, but we're now winning our own ball and stealing a lot of ball, and a lot of that's down to him at the back calling. He's confident in his calling. He's confident in where he sees the space and backs it. And obviously the same getting up and stealing ball. He's worked really well with Hoskins Satutu in that sort of area. So I think it's those areas of growth that are now making him into that, you know, player that you'd think is a must-see in an All-Black jersey. Whereas we already know his physical prowess with ball in hand and defence, but his core roles, along with his growth as a leader, it sort of sets him above at the moment, in my opinion.
Is that something you just have, the ability of knowing space in the lineout? Is that a thing that you've either got or you don't, or is that an easy thing to learn?
I think it's a collaboration, obviously, with it's myself, Josh Goodhue, Gerard Cowley, and him coming up with, and Tom Coventry, obviously, and coming up with a plan that you believe in, all of you believe in, and you see it on the tape and you see why you're going with those lineouts. I think that's the first step. But then it's also, you know, game day, not just resorting to the front, you know, chancing, you know, your arm and backing yourself what you see. And I just think that comes over time. And once you get a couple, it's like anything in rugby, once you've got that confidence and you have a couple of, you know, calls that, you know, work for you, he's just growing. You know, that Hurricanes game round one for us, our lineup was really good. His calling was really good. And, you know, he got a lot of pats on the back for that, and then it's just sort of flowed from there, and we had a good second week against the Chiefs, and then probably our worst week was the Highlanders, but only, you know, lost 2 out of 15, whereas and sometimes when you lose a couple you just resort to the front because you know you're going to win it, but you know he just stayed true and stayed strong, and that's, for me, that's where I see his biggest growth in this Super Rugby comp.
And does that give you more confidence as a hooker when you know the confidence of where those people are moving to as you're about to throw the ball?
Yeah, massively. And it gives you massive confidence when you've got a caller that just backs himself and backs that, you know, even if he's against someone, you know, Whitelock's been the best at it. You know, someone will be right next to him, he still calls himself because, you know, that's, he backs his speed and his plan. And that's where I think Paddy's game's getting to, which is great.
And you halfbacks are just saying, put it to the back of the line out every time. Just put it to the back of the line out and let me give it some air.
It can't be that hard, can it?
Gosh. Here we go. So everything, all the backs and halfbacks, everything. It's just get it off the back, mate. Just get it off the back.
Hey, what we were preparing the other day, actually, for if a hooker was in the sin bin, and then there's some, you know.
Are you throwing a few darts, are you? Yeah,
then I'll call it to the back, boys. I've got it. Easy. I don't know why you got where you hooked.
The problem is you probably had no defense there. It's easy to throw it there, but if someone's standing right there and plucks it off you, it's
no, laser focus locked in right to the back.
Maybe you should just get alongside Brad and Sanasoni and just run a clinic.
Yeah, I didn't want to dishearten them too much, so I did it away from them and
did a couple of dusty ones, I bet, too.
Hell no, they're all money ball.
And what happens if the hooker is off and they need you to go into a scrum, though? They'd be lifting you off the ground.
You'd be golden oldies. That's safety first. I don't want to break my neck in one of those things.
One of the talking points in my house on the weekend, my wife's not huge on rugby. Like, she watches it because she's sitting next to me. But she's not huge on rugby. She comes from a football family. And after the game, the Crusaders game, Cody Taylor said they wanted it more than us, which is, you know, pretty normal post-match chat from a skipper. And we started getting into a conversation about what that comment actually means and the fallout from that comment. Because to me, like, after thinking about it for a while, that has got to be what one of the most cutting comments for a team, possibly. The concept that we didn't want it as much as them. Like, is that almost the hardest comment to hear your captain say?
It's questioning your attitude, I think. And that part hurts. Like, you can live with a loss if your skill set wasn't quite high enough, or you know, tactically you might have missed a couple of things. But when you're questioned around your effort or your attitude, that one really stings a lot. So I imagine that's the sort of message that Cody is trying to send, that wasn't good enough attitude wise. And if we turn up again like that, then that's the result that's going to happen. So I'm sure they'll be having a decent look at that through the week.
Yeah. And I think whenever captains make that comment, it's normally around the collision areas of breakdown, gain line carries, defense, missed tackles, you know, work off the ball to get back and escorts and those sorts of things. So I'd say he's meaning the Hurricanes probably won the upfront battle and then the smaller detail around those work areas. And it's common. I think Paddy said the same thing after our loss to the Hurricanes the week before. So it's certainly not something you want to hear, but, you know, after our Canes game, you know, it was probably one of our best weeks training for the Chiefs game, just being because that hurt and it cut so deep, to hear that from your skip and for him to say it publicly as well.
Mm. And for the opposition that's coming up next week, it's also probably the one thing that you don't want to hear.
Yeah, it's probably a warning for us that they're going to try and bring plenty of physicality and get stuck in. But there's one thing about us that we won't, we'll be bringing that just as much. So, be a bit of fire on fire, I think, this weekend.
Sounds like a bit of fun.
For the big boys, it'll be fun, yeah. I'll get front seat of that, hopefully.
Why is it that the Chiefs versus the Crusaders is so fiery? Like, I remember hearing some comments earlier in the year that the Crusaders really dislike you guys. What is it about the combination of these two teams that creates a clash?
Well, I think for a long time we didn't really like the way that the Crusaders, you know, carried themselves. Like, they, obviously because they were so good that, you know, we sort of drummed up this thing that, you know, they thought that they were better than us. You know, it's not necessarily true, but we, you know, if we say that, then it sort of brings you a fair bit of motivation for guys that are untested. And I remember guys like Tanito Latimer and Liam Messam sort of saying things like that, and it sort of really got me fizzed up. So, and then with the amount of niggle that players that we've had in the past brought to the Crusaders to try and get under their skin and upset them a little bit, I think they really didn't like. And, you know, they know we're going to bring it. They expect it. So
you've had a lot of success against them as well over, you know, yeah, the last 10 years, which wouldn't sit well with them. So that's where their angle comes from as well. You know, they do like that they're the pinnacle of the game, and they've been that for the last 3 years. But I think, you know, that 2012-2013 era where the Chiefs were the team to beat, and they were the team that was the attitude team, you know, with guys like Lats and Hunger, the way they led that and drove it alongside Craig Clark, and bringing up guys, you know, like Sammy Kane and Brodie Retallick, through that culture. I think that's where that sort of festered from the outside looking in. You know, and you speak to Tom Coventry and the way it was run, it was pretty brutal.
Yep.
Trainings were brutal, probably more brutal than the games by all accounts.
Oh, yeah, there's some tough days under Renz and Tom.
I think even earlier than that, Sione Lawaki used to do a number on the Crusaders for the Chiefs. Used to get real fired up and start smashing people.
I don't think it was just the Crusaders.
Yeah. There's that awesome clip of him just throwing Richie off, isn't there? Like, he just epitomised the Chiefs' attitude towards the Crusaders, I guess.
What about the Blues Highlanders? Is there much feeling to that?
Oh, mate, there is. You know, obviously, Gordon Hunter Memorial Trophy's on the line, and you can only win it at the holder's home ground. So, yeah, even though we obviously had a victory up here, we haven't had our hands on it for a few years, and it's something I know the Landers certainly get up for, and especially when Jamie Joe was there, it was a big factor, and it's always been a massive thing for us. And Tom, obviously being down in Dunedin and played his rugby there before going to Waikato and stuff, is you know, has fond memories of Gordon Hunter, and it's something that he really wants back in our cabinet, and something our forward pack would love to deliver for him. So it's a massive fixture for us this week, not only for this season, but for what that means to both clubs.
It's nice having a trophy like that on the line, eh? Like to add a little bit of depth, some real depth, human depth to it.
Oh, it's also, it's great for guys that are quite young and don't even know what certain people did for the club or the game, and hearing people speak about them in such high regard so many years afterwards, it's powerful. It gets back to that sort of, there's actually more to this game than just 4 points or 5 points. It means a hell of a lot to a lot of people that we don't see day to day, and what joy we can bring, I suppose, to their week without even, you know, chatting to them or knowing them is massive.
Where do you see the winning of that game?
Oh, it's going to be set piece. You know, the Landers have based them around south, I think, since coming back. It was the area they struggled with pre-COVID and post-COVID. Their two twin towers, I've been great at set piece with, you know, we've spoken at length last week about Ash Dixon's accuracy and leadership. And, you know, just their, you know, hunger and fight around the breakdown. And I think if you allow that front foot ball, obviously with the Chiefs game, you saw that front foot ball and their interplay between forwards and backs. And if they get rolling, especially under the roof, they can be a hell of a threat. And it's an area they're confident in. They've had a bye. And I think, you know, guys like Nagy are just feeding off that confidence of that last minute win, which will play a lot. And, you know, we certainly haven't hit our straps. We didn't play as well as we'd like yesterday. Certainly weren't disciplined enough to even, you know, see how our game was. You know, we didn't, it was sort of stop start through lack of discipline. So, you know, we'll want to tidy up that area, get our set piece right, which I think's been a strength of ours. So it'll be the battle up front, as it always is. And then I'm pretty excited to see our back line unleashed under the roof as well.
Geez, Rico's looking good, isn't he?
His growth, like that little short ball he gives to Duff, you know, Anton rushes up, you know, he doesn't always give that pass, you know, probably 2-3 years ago. His link play and his selfless play has been his biggest growth, I think, and he's just fitted so well in at 13, and is just doing such a great amount of work for us on attack, but also defence. He's making some great reads, and he works really hard off the ball. You know, he's looking really comfortable in the midfield there. I think it's a position he wants to play, and I would say has earned the right to play with his performances.
My understanding is that it's something that Leon's wanted him there for a few years, but he's just had to wait while the All Blacks selectors wanted Rico on the wing. So it is kind of the place that he was due to be even a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I know it's definitely where he wants to be. You know, he loves it. He loves it there. The more he can touch the ball, the happier he is. But as I said, it's the finesse around that, picking his moments when it's on for him and picking his moments when it's on for others. I see Webby smiling there.
Well, that's the thing. When you preview Rico in the centres, you can sort of win in doubt. He usually likes to tuck and carry, so certainly growing his game to the distributing point and putting guys into holes makes him a much bigger threat, because then, you know, guys have to worry about everything else around them. Then it gives him potentially a little bit more space when it is on to run. So once he starts growing it, as we're seeing, you know, he's going to be a real threat in that midfield.
And he's got that pace through the first 10 metres, eh? I think it's, people don't quite realise how fast he is over the first 10 metres to take an outside break.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't look fast, you know. Sometimes, what do they say, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. It's like, to the naked eye, it doesn't look that fast, but it's a lot quicker than you think. Sort of like Damien is as well, you know, poor old Blake yesterday, you know, he just sort of pulls trigger and, you know, you think you're in the race and then they're gone the next, you know. And my old mate with the support line.
You always count on me to be there, Jip, don't you worry.
Oh, yeah. Searching for that meaty just to get that janitor moved up. Yeah.
I haven't had the chance to do this Super Rugby Aotearoa, so I'm looking.
This weekend, mate.
Absolutely.
This weekend.
Three of them.
I feel it.
Yeah, that ball bounce up to you against the Blues, though. That errant pass and then bam, you were off. That must have felt pretty good. Suddenly there was a try. It was out of nowhere.
No, we were meant to do that. That's exactly how we trained it. Yeah, look, I just sort of it just all sort of happened really quickly. And yeah, lucky Cruds with his finesse with the little dummy to send Mark Talia the wrong way, and then yeah, helps having finishers like Solomon on our wing to finish something like that off. But poor buggers, I think he's dislocated his shoulder. I think he might be gone for a while now. So
you must take a lot from those moments, though, in the sense that the amount of Chiefs jerseys in the picture, you know, and those are those work areas that you talk of and those attitude areas. And it's certainly, you know, over the years, you know, through your, I suppose, your mantra of the Chiefs mana, it's certainly shown throughout all these 80-minute performances. And it's not through lack of effort. It is, yeah. You know, those sort of, it feels like you're so close, but yet so far away. But those effort areas, you know, your team's really prided themselves on, and I suppose shown. And that was a case in point. There's about six or seven Chiefs jerseys in the picture, even though you knew he's going to score from 20 out, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's great feedback, actually, Jip. Thanks for that, mate. It's, but yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Like I sort of mentioned it earlier, that like you can. Losses are a bit easier to take when you know that your effort and attitude was outstanding, and there's never been a time where we've been able to fault that with our boys. So, you know, we've never folded, we've never sort of died wondering. It's yeah, a few skill set and technical parts we might not have got right, and maybe missed a few key moments that led to losses. But man, the effort, the attitude has always been there, and will continue to be that way for these next two games. So. Yeah, can't fault the lads' effort, and they're putting everything out there for the Chiefs. And yeah, appreciate that feedback, Jib. That's good. I'll pass it on to the fellas.
That's probably a good way to finish it.
Yeah, why not?
Who would have thought the Blues and the Chiefs being civil together, eh?
It's because we're not playing each other again this year. Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.